the year 2019. We lost a year. Aren't you glad to be alive at this time, for such a time as this? And I want you to stand together today with us before we get started and get into the Word. How many know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 show us this very thing. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weaponry is spiritual. This doesn't mean that we pray and stand idle, because James said faith without works is dead. He's not talking about works of righteousness or unto righteousness or works of the flesh or religious works to gain access. For we who have come into Jesus by His own blood are now in union, one with the Father, one with Jesus. Paul explains it this way. We are joint heirs with Christ. That means the old man died. A new man was born. Born again. How many born again people do we have in the place today? Born again. And that born again man, by the miracle of regeneration, was made one. Joint heirs. We were made one to the exclusion of the old. I don't have a dual nature. I have a new nature called the nature of God alive on the inside of me. My flesh has a bent and a pattern that it was used to for many years. But that's no longer my nature, for the nature of God lives on the inside of me. So for the rest of my life, I hear Paul saying to me and to you, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beg of you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, no longer by constraint, no longer by command, no longer by force, but because of mercy. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you now have the liberty, the freedom, the blessing, the honor of presenting your body. Come on, would you lift your hands up and worship with me today? Of presenting your body a living. Aren't you glad it's not a dead sacrifice anymore? But because of Jesus, I'm able to stand with confidence with my hands in the air and present to Him a living sacrifice. There's not one person in here that is perfect after the flesh or perfect in your flesh. You need to get over you and get back into Jesus. See in Him the new man that He's put on the inside of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. Paul put it this way, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Come on, say it out loud this morning. He lives in me. I think you can do better than that, unless I'm preaching to the Methodists. Come on, He lives in me. Well, I keep doing that. Say, God bless the Methodists. Extend your hands in that direction. Bless them, strengthen them, empower them, reveal yourself to them. I just mean they're quieter than we are. Except there you were quiet as they were, so we want to fix that, okay? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet. Let me back up. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ lives in me. Come on. And the life that I now live in the flesh, you know it, come on, help me out. The life that I now live here on planet Earth, physical feet in touch with terra firma. That's why it's good to come together like this and let Jesus wash our feet off. How many been through some stuff this week? How many been through some stuff this week? Felt the bombardment of the enemy. People have turned foot washing into a ritual. Right here, you're watching foot washing. You're watching communion. You're watching the bread and the wine flow. You're watching as we sit down and Jesus, the Master, now the King of all kings, sits and humbly washes our feet through the Word. For you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. How many love Jesus today? You know, how we love you today. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Aren't you glad it's not your faith, but His faith He delivered to you? Come on, all over the house. Are you thankful? I live by the faith of the Son of God. If I cross my fingers and hold my tongue right and pay my tithes and am faithful in my attendance, will love me. Who loved me and gave Himself for me? It's a done deal. Come on, church, would you worship Him today? We worship You and magnify You. And thank You for this. So, Father, we're thankful. Now we have a battle plan. If you don't know by now, there is an onslaught of the enemy, not against our nation, not against the right, but coming right at your God and your Jesus in you. You're asleep. It's time to wake up. I said every week, Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God will give you light. Redeem the time, He said, for the days are evil. He said, understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be filled continually with the Spirit of God. Last week we had a reminder. What a blessing it was to hear this place filled with people speaking in other tongues. Somebody said, well, it was not really scriptural that everybody was speaking in tongues. And I understand what they mean, but let me fix that real quick. Let me just fix that real quick. Paul was speaking to a baby church in its infancy. He dealt with some pretty terrible things that were going on, and yet he reminded them in that state, coming together for communion, drunkenness, gluttony, selfishness. He said, you're not sharing with others. And yet he still called them the beloved. Said, there's hope for me. Come on, people, are you here today? There's hope for me. He had to deal with some things that don't fit our culture and time, but there were people who worshiped. I'm asking to continue to stand because we're worshiping. Come on, we're worshiping. I'm not preaching yet, I'm just preaching yet. Okay, so here we go. Are you here today? He dealt with some things. He said, you gals, your dress and your look looks like those who worship in heathen temples. Come out. He wasn't setting up a standard of rules and rituals. He was showing them we're different. Our value is different. We look and talk and walk different. My background, the Holiness Church, took those specifics for another time in culture and lost the spirit of what was being preached. People, I'm here to remind you with Peter. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. I'm here glad for Jesus today. The called out, a chosen generation. I said we are a chosen generation, called to show forth the praises of Him. Come on, are you here today who's called us out of darkness? So we have a battle plan. And it looks like this, Zechariah 4:6, it is not by spirit, I mean not by power or might, excuse me. I need to take a drink of water, my mouth is dry. My heart is full, my mind is full, my mouth is going faster than my heart is, so let me back up. It's not by might, there we go, the water helped. Nor by power, but by my spirit. Last week, we had a valuable lesson. How many are glad that it's by His Spirit? People all over the room praying in tongues. Paul is bringing correction to a baby church. The difference in what happened last week and what he was correcting is because everybody, all the time, he says it clearly, they showed up and that's all that was going on. That's not what was going on only last week. But we preached the Word. People prophesied, others interpreted, people were ministering, and in the middle of all this, we have individual believers not prophesying. This isn't the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12. This is a prayer language that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. He says, we are edified when we do this. Now, he's coming from a different angle because he's bringing correction to a baby church. It's gotten way off. But within that chapter of correction, he begins to show the beauty of what this means. Therefore, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit. And I will sing in the understanding also. The battle truly belongs to the Lord. Let's let Him have it. Are you here today? So we have a battle around us and before us. It starts in the Spirit. Pray. Jesus said, watch, be aware, and pray. Prayer shouldn't just be a hope that we throw out there. But the prayer of Jesus and how He taught us to pray is a prayer that comes from authority and from strength. And now as believers, we stand in unity, and our prayer carries a power that we cannot see physically, but renders confusion to the enemy's camp. So we must watch. Pray. That's where we start. And then we must speak the Word of God. Specifically, prophesy into the darkness. Come on, are you here today? Speak the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says. I mean, if you're not aware of what's taking place right now, I'm saying it again, I pray that you'll wake up, because this is not just a left or right issue. This is not a Democrat, Republican. This isn't about whether you like the man of God in office or not. And I say the man of God, I'm not calling him a Christian. I'm saying the man chosen for this time to keep America where it belongs, where it needs to be. I say that without any reservation whatsoever at all. I see it in every way. I see more and more people coming to that realization. So we watch, we pray, we understand our battles in the Spirit. Are you here today? We understand the importance of speaking the Word of God. We understand the importance of not just talking, but that real faith has action. So we get involved. We find, this is what Sunday nights is about. By the way, 4:30 for this church right now. This isn't a public thing. Are you here? But for this church, we're going to shift it forward a half hour. Throwing it on you. So we'll be here for that. You know what that is about. If you want to come, being a little bit more informed about that, because I'm not going to spend much time there this morning at all. You know, all over the news, and if you're digging at all, even the not mainstream, but more prominent news sources are coming out and admitting there is absolute lies and acceleration and false boosting of numbers. It all has an agenda behind it. So one more time. Can I get you? I know I've got you standing for a long time. If you're too tired, you can stay seated, but lift your hands up all over the room. So we have a battle ahead of us. And we won't shrink back from us. But we got to remember that it is by His Spirit. These other things are important. But prayer is the glue that causes any structure to stand. And without it, it falls. So today, I want us to stand with hearts believing and full of faith this morning. I know that spirit of intercession that was on Chad is just still rolling in the house this morning. So if you want to just follow along and pray in the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what, Brother Louie last week, between Brother Louie and Brother Daniel back here, just broke that loose, something we've needed in a long time. So Father, today, if you want to just pray in the Holy Ghost or just pray in accordance with me, but right now we start with President Trump in the name of Jesus. We lift up him and all his cabinet, that administration. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak the protection of God, the wisdom of God over these men. Father God, I thank you today in Jesus' name. That truth is revealed. We call the wisdom of God into that place. Father, today in Jesus' name, we call confusion to the enemy's camp. I thank you that they tell on one another, that they turn on one another. Not for their personal physical destruction, on the contrary, that their eyes would be open, for they have been blinded and cannot see. Let them see the light of the glorious gospel. Awaken our nation, Father, in Jesus' name. For this nation we pray. For pastors, Chad already prayed this, for pastors all over this nation, if you're watching, we need you to stand. I pray in Jesus' name you would look past this man and this little video and you would hear the heart of God. We need you to stand. Just like Jack Hibbs said, open your doors, be bold, do not be intimidated, don't swallow the lies. Let's stand together and push back by the Spirit of God. Not with the same ugly, mean spirit of the world, but by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name that truth is revealed, that truth is loosed, that truth is brought by revelation in Jesus' name, that lies are exposed. And having done all to stand in the evil day, we will stand. Armed with the Word of God. Father, we thank you today for all that you're doing, for your people, for your work in us individually, as the body of Christ, the body of Christ locally and around the world as we awaken to our calling. Father God, in Jesus' name, I speak it forth. This is not the beginning of the end. No way. Great things are ahead. We speak life and peace to this nation. Father God, the world needs to know this single last true bastion of freedom that was born by the very freedom of God today in Jesus' name. Come on, people, are you here today? We thank you for this nation and we lift her up, Father God. And we thank you for those who have sought to subvert, that they continue to be exposed, that evil is exposed, that truth is exalted. And in the end, the purpose is not so that we become another blessed nation that becomes fat again and complacent and complicit and lets it roll back in, but that we remain awakened to the fact that we are blessed to be a blessing. The number one thing that we live for is that another would know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus loves the world, and that Jesus makes the difference from person to nation. Let it be heard. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, you remember Andre Crouch? Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Father God, we thank you today. Stand with me one more time. I rebuke fear. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power. Come on, somebody say it like you mean it. But of power, of love, and a sound mind. Every morning you need to get up and do a checkup from the neck up, because I know just like you, just like me, you just like me, let me get it out right. I'm having a little trouble this morning, but I'm having fun, so it doesn't bother you. All this does is it preaches to you that if that guy can do it, I can. Yeah, that's right. Get with it. Get with it. Come on. Where was I at? I got to do that at least once a service, or I'm not me. But of power and of love and a sound mind. We got to do a checkup from the neck up in these times, because the enemy will blast us all week. Drive us into a tunnel of anger. Drive us into a tunnel of depression. Drive us into a tunnel of hopelessness. This ought not be so. Shout it out with me, for greater is he that is in me. Is that a slogan or a truth? Come on, greater is he that is in me. That's right. They were building a tower of stone that reached into the heaven. And words were spoken that said, if we don't put a stop to this, nothing shall be impossible for them. For they're of one heart, one mind, one language. And they were all found together in one accord in the upper room, 120, unified, not divided, believing a promise that seemed insane, but awaiting for the promise that Jesus had given, the promise of the Father. Suddenly, there was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind. And all the place where they were at was filled. And there were tongues of fire that danced above their heads. And they began to speak in another tongue. God giving them utterance. Isn't that amazing? The men outside said, "They're drunk." Peter said, "They're not drunk as you suppose. But this is that which was promised by the prophet Joel." And oh yeah, by the way, he spoke of this day, and he said, "In this day, everything's changed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Do you understand who you are? Do you understand your inheritance? Do you understand the power that we have in this room? And there are rooms like this all over this country. Do not weaken. Don't become weary in well-doing, for in due time we will see our reward. How many love Jesus today? Hallelujah. So Lord, we lift our hands this morning. This is how we do war in the Spirit. Prophesying out of the heart of love. Trusting that you do all things well. So Father, for these things we give you thanks. Bless our state. Strengthen our county. Wouldn't it be something if through the Spirit God did something with that young lady at Prescott College? I've seen it in the foreign field. Leftist guerrillas who hated a good friend of mine, Eliseo Villar, part of the Cuban police force, terrible alcoholic. Radically saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. One of the greatest evangelists I've ever been around. I got to remind myself, just slap myself every once in a while. Are we warring after the Spirit or after the flesh? So Father, today, this doesn't mean don't be informed. Just don't be over-informed. This doesn't mean don't act, absolutely act. Just don't let that become your strength. My strength comes from the Lord. I'm very glad for that today. One more time, all over the room, one more time. Let's lift our hands. Let's begin to worship. Father, we thank you. We rest in the knowledge that when we pray like this, you are supernaturally rolling back the clouds. You are supernaturally frustrating and bringing confusion to the enemy's camp. You are supernaturally doing mighty things. That video that you sent me, John, I almost thought about showing it tomorrow. It's a little lengthy. But that young woman, she was a young Hispanic woman. He sent a video to me. I don't know where it came from. A woman who knew the Lord. She didn't strike me as Hispanic. She looked Hispanic. Cuban. Is she Cuban? And begins to speak of how that she began to look at this whole situation. She didn't like Trump. She thought he was crass, rude. You may be seated. I keep talking, you're going to be seated anyway. You may as well sit down. What are you whining about? I have to stand up here for... And she began to recognize some things. And without, there's no way I can go back and repeat the video, but this lady, I mean, precious, anointed. I mean, it's coming right out of the video. He said, "Lord, open my eyes. Show me what's going on here." And the Lord gave her a vision, and she lays it out by the Spirit, what is going on in our nation. I don't know if we'd have time tonight. Maybe I can pull it together. Is it on YouTube? So that's something we'd be able to pull up easily here. That might be a good way to start. And yeah, because you guys are doing some stuff tonight, right? A couple of things like that, just to breathe morale and strength, a couple of those things. And we're getting, I mean, I'm getting inundated with great videos, and after a while, you just got to click it off, and there she is. Jesus showed me about Donald Trump and Biden. And beautiful thing. Anyway, God's doing good stuff. The battle belongs to Him. I see good things ahead. When I see this much lying and smashing and craziness, I know they're scared. And we have a reason to rejoice. Can you say amen? Did I clarify about the tongues issue? I'm not going to go into that, but I want you to know that we have no reason to be ashamed of praying in the Spirit. Just because there have been groups of people who probably innocently and with good intentions went crazy, just like Corinthians did. Not okay. What doesn't mean that what Jesus said, look, my joy is to give this to you. I'm going to endue you with power. Acts 1:8, look at it. We see there not just the believers there on the day of Pentecost. And by the way, for you that have Catholic background or maybe watching this video and you're Catholic, Mary, who has been falsely exalted to God-like status, was in there submitting to God, submitting to the promise. She was in there with 120 and received the Holy Ghost and fire. Isn't that something? He was a part of that group. And we see the result of that was great boldness. And how that these men and women went out. Not only did they preach the gospel with signs and wonders following what they did, but they also had the power to give the Holy Ghost. And today, we have that promise for every believer. How many are glad for the Holy Ghost today? Amen. Unashamed. Would you say with me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to you and me. And you shout amen. Well, I preached a good sermon. I think we'll go home. Praise the Lord. Not. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Weekly, I've just kind of abandoned some of my train of thought where I was at before, and just weekly, just saying, Lord, what do we need to hear right now? This isn't necessarily a time for us to do in-depth teaching on financial stewardship. There's a time for that. Right now, we're in a battle. Or whatever else. There's a place for all those things, and we teach them. I appreciate Chad's comment. And Chad, that wasn't a reaction. I didn't even think about a reaction to what you said. That's absolutely true, and it's something that we need to do. But right now, I feel like the troops need encouraged. We need strengthened. We need to be reminded of who we are, what is before us, and how to go about doing our part in Jesus' name. But I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry of as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, I have to kind of twist the context a little bit, but if you can hear this in the context of everything that is going on right now in the name of justice and rights and even churches, it is a perversion of God's word. That's not the exact context, but it absolutely shows us what the spirit of what is going on. But by manifestation of the truth, don't let that just fly over your head. In Spanish, the word manifestación, manifestation. Caleb, what is a manifestación? Right, but that doesn't really translate this way. And when they are having a hint, political manifestación in Honduras, what is it? That's what they call it. So a protest, a public protest, or a public proclamation of what we believe, a group of people unified, either in protest or in proclamation of things that they believe are truth, in Spanish is called manifestación. It's an outward, open, bold showing forth of what we believe and why. And I'm glad that that as of yet has not been stamped out. We are dangerously close because certain people are allowed to do that while churches are shut down. Not this one. Ever. I won't ever do it again. For any reason. Period. Not while I'm here anyway. That's right. But by manifestation of the truth, an open, bold proclamation, an outward showing, without fear, by manifestation, would you say it with me? By manifestation of the truth. When we're speaking truth, when we possess truth, we have a responsibility before God to open up our mouths. And the first truth is not all this, but it's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the freedom that comes as a result of that. And that's where it starts reaching into the current theme of what's happening in our nation. Because you've got to understand that is what is being challenged. I've wanted to do this for several weeks. This is an article, so it's a little bit, I'm trying to remember exactly when this was. Where's the date at? You'll remember this, some of you, from the news. It's a blog. I don't know who the writer is. It's in response to, here it is, June 24th, to Sean King's tweet. You remember this in the news? Calling for taking down of all American statues and stained glass windows that portray a white Jesus. Okay? So this is what was going on. So let me just back up. So this person writing this blog says some good stuff. The good news from Sean King's tweet calling for the taking down of all American statues and stained glass windows that portray a white Jesus is that maybe, just maybe, this message will finally wake up enough Americans to understand what is really going on in 2020. Now, I read part of this the other day, and I don't remember if it was Sunday night or in here, but I want to read the entirety of it because it's right in line with what we're looking at. The radical left is now and has always been ridding America of God, and specifically the God of the Bible. They are now an open war against America. I said it last week, and you need to wake up and understand that right now you are currently being. If you don't see it now, you're going to look back in a few months and say, wow, I wished I would have been awake. I promise you, I'm not being an alarmist. I'm not reaching out there hoping I'm right. We are being subjected to psychological warfare right now. But you know what? We don't have to submit to that. Or you have the mind of Christ. But we got to understand that. They're now in open war against America. They are now in open war against America with exactly this as their overarching objective. If enough Americans are awake to this reality, they can rise to resist what the left is doing, and they will overcome. This is the story of American history. If enough Americans are awake to this reality, the highest level leaders of the left, think George Soros, he says, are following a basic formula. Taking down America, if this isn't just obvious to you, you've been watching too many reruns. The taking down America requires getting rid of God. And getting rid of God requires getting rid of the Bible. I've heard Bill Gates very subtle in the way he did it, but saying this very thing in detail. We are a problem. Why is the Christian a problem for them? Because the spirit of Antichrist doesn't like. It's anti-Christ. This isn't left-right. This has shifted into a whole new phase. Getting rid of God and the Bible allows leftists to get rid of morals. Getting rid of morals. It's old news now. I don't want to beat an old drum, but look up who the three founders of Black Lives Matter are. And look at what their morality is. It'll shock you. They're trained Marxists, but I'm talking about their moral, who they are, their morality. And you got to understand, I hear it all the time. Well, Brother Lee, we need to be careful. We need to be gentle in our approach. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that a soft answer turns away wrath. But we got to stay in context here. I've watched the Republican Party, who I think they're about more than half messed up themselves. That's why we're where we're at. But I've watched through the years good men, because they did have a conscience, because they did have even if they weren't born again, they had their values were based on a Judeo-Christian ethic. And so they always felt the obligation to compromise, to reach across the aisle. But if you've been paying attention, since I've been old enough to watch all this, I've watched that we never gain anything, they take it every time. And that mush-headed, bleeding-heart attitude that does not understand the reality of what is taking place, they don't have the wisdom of God, so they keep doing this. And we keep, in the name of being gentle, peaceable, loving, we keep giving our freedoms away. I had a conversation with a gentleman who's not here this morning, saying, well, we understand all that, but we're erring to the side of caution. I think I mentioned this last week, and I want to mention it again. That is a lazy excuse for not doing your homework and taking a stand for truth. It is. I'm sorry. That's what it is. Because right now, what is under attack is everything that we hold precious and valuable. Getting rid of God and the Bible allows leftists to get rid of. And where I was going with that thought that came to me was this. A true Marxist leftist, they do not believe there is a God. God is government. That is. I'm not just spouting stuff out that I feel or see. I'm talking about this stuff is written into their code. So for them, and this is why all around the world and in modern history we see where Marxism has its way. You and I are dispensable for the end. In their mind, truly justifies the means. So therefore, they can cheat, lie, steal, murder, rape, pillage, whatever, because in the end, if their truth wins, then they can play God and do what they feel is best for all humanity. And so many of the things that we've seen carefully massaged into our culture, like, for example, global warming. Shoot me down if you're watching me on the camera, but you need to wake up. Now craftily switch to climate change is all to breed fear into young children from a very young age. That's the biggest thing, is fear. In all of this, it's about fear. Kids that are about, we are Christian people in a mostly still yet, believe it or not, conservative area. I mean, we are so out of touch with what is going on in the rest of the nation. It's very easy to go to sleep here. I can sit on my porch and look at beautiful Arizona and not feel the press. Going to Prescott, it's still amazing. There's relative freedom. There are those that have shut down, but we have options. And I found out that those who are bold enough to challenge it, I walked up to the door, I won't say where, the other day, and the dude stopped me, and I gave him a look and started to step forward. He says, "But if you don't want to, I understand. I'm going to go away." There's something different, and I'm thankful for that. But don't take that for granted. But these people, they don't care. So while we're over here like the Republicans in years past, trying to reach across the aisle and be nice, they're taking every possible little bit of ground and advantage that they can. And it's time to understand that being a Christian is not being a doormat. You got to, it's somewhere, and that doesn't mean you become belligerent and ugly. Absolutely not. But it does mean that I have a voice. I have a place. This is my America. And we're going to hang on to. I love on the Righteous Indignation site. I reject the new norms. New norms like, aren't you glad they, in some states, patted us on the back and gave us, they gave us a little liberty and said, we'll consider the church essential. That's a subtle lie and a reach for control. You and I, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not essential. We are vital. The salt and the light of the world. Without Jesus in this world, we're in trouble. Stand and be counted. Getting rid of God and the Bible allows leftists to get rid of. They're taking everything. They're not. So my point is this. No matter what you say, Mike Rose and I had a rich conversation about this. No matter what you say, quit worrying about how they're going to twist it. Keep the truth rolling. Don't be ugly, but keep the truth rolling. People need to hear it. When you get in too far and it begins to overwhelm your heart, stop. The joy of the Lord is your strength, not your incessant knowledge of the next little news thing. You'll get buried. It's okay. There's enough of us doing this. Pull your head out of the bucket for a few days or all week and just worship God. The world's not going to come to an end. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed. And as much as I love America, and what she stands for, and how she came, and God's supernatural divine hand in her, I must remind you this morning, we are strangers and aliens. We are citizens of another land. So ultimately, you have to unhook in the spirit. Stand in the freedom of God. Is that making sense? We doing okay? Now, am I going to fight for this great land? You bet your boots. Getting rid of God in the Bible allows leftists to get rid of morals, and getting rid of morals enables the elimination of a system and vision of law and order based on those morals. Think CHOP, or CHAZ, or whatever else. And community policing. Contact tracing, I've got it on the back of my pickup. You would not believe the people who stop, and because it's got, help me, Stalin, Marx, and Hitler. And it draws your eye because it looks like I'm pro that. It's black with a white background, black print, and you see them stop, and they, you can tell they haven't even thought about it. Contact tracing? I had a guy taking a picture, follow me, getting too close. I was like, man, I got to get that thing off my tailgate. Somebody's going to rear end me. He had his phone up on the steering wheel trying to get a picture. People that have no clue. Getting rid of God in the Bible allows leftists to get rid of any sense of divine authority. You understand that, right? It's the age-old battle. Revealing the purpose, the meaning of life, and spiritual other than, for example, other than exclusively fleshly terms. To get rid of divine authority and any spiritual content to life is to elevate men and the science of matter as supreme rulers and experts and authorities. And then he says, think Dr. Fauci. You know who the man is, where he came from, where his backing is? It'd raise the hair on the back of your neck. Don't be fooled. He goes on. Let's explore the formula. America's founding is grounded in and inspired by the teachings of the Bible. Read David Barton's Founder's Bible. Get a hold of anything of his. It'll help you. David Barton. You might want to write that down. Which collects in one place an overwhelming volume of writings from an enormous variety of founding era authors which can leave the honest, objective reader with only one possible conclusion as to the role of the Bible and faith in God or divine providence in the formation of the United States. It is foundational. Then remember, it was Jesus who said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. John 18:37, and who also said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. That's why the left will ultimately endorse taking down all statues of Jesus, not just white ones. Moving to the subject of morals and law and order, big topic of the now. America's concept of these was not pulled out of thin air. Here are the words of the Mayflower Compact of 1620, capturing exactly what the Pilgrims understood as the why of their voyage to establish a colony in the New World. The voyage was undertaken, they penned, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. The Christian faith includes a comprehensive set of moral teachings which necessarily sets the table for what should constitute the ground rules for societal law and order. The left wants the sense of Christian order dismantled and defunded. On the subject of divine versus human authority, Jackie and I were watching a video just recently where a person goes in the streets, goes into the most liberal parts of New York, and I don't know where all else, down in the ghettos. And they approach a number of white people, whatever that is, and ask them how they feel about getting rid of the police. And they all have these very well-prepared little things they parrot. I mean, you've heard it a million times. Talking points that they go through. Then this person goes to the black community, one of them standing there with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and said, how do you guys feel? And I said, no way, man. We need help. We need them. These people are crazy. I don't know where they're getting this from. The news is so skewed, you and I aren't getting any of that. But these people have a plan. They use those people and lead us to believe that this is all that they want. Not true. It's not. On the subject of divine versus human authority, think of these words of Man of the Left, Dr. Anthony Fauci, last week, this was June 24th, echoing New York Times' David Books. One of the problems we face, quote, this is Anthony Fauci, one of the problems we face in the United States is that, unfortunately, there is a combination of anti-science bias that people are, for reasons that sometimes are, inconceivable and not understandable. They just don't believe science, so they don't believe authority. No, Dr. Fauci, Americans historically do believe in authority. They just don't believe you're the authority. Which brings us to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, written by, take note, Mr. King, staunch abolitionist, Julia Ward Poe. Take note, Mr. King, he's saying. He's got him that in parentheses. He's saying, take note. Written by Julia Ward H-O-W-E, Howe. At the outset of the Civil War to inspire Union soldiers, the entirety of the lyrics reflect a sense of God's, of America's God-centered purpose. A relevant excerpt. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die. Woo! Let us die to make men free. Our God is marching on. The Battle Hymn of the Republic captures the spirit of America's true rejection of grasps of race, racism, and shows where Americans historically turn to find guidance away from all moral evils. Back to Sean King. King is a self-anointed leftist authority on all things relating to racist America. And he would no doubt be quick to point out that his recent tweet did not mean he's against all statues or stained glass windows depicting Jesus, just the ones that depict Jesus as having lighter skin than some speculate would have been darker or more Middle Eastern. That's an irrelevant distinction, King, and other leftists may try to sell the most gullible of Christians, and we have a lot of them. Americans and the people of faith the world over have not turned to the Bible and the Gospels because of the real or imagined skin color of Jesus. They have done so because the human heart hungers for truth and finds it in the life and teachings of Christ Jesus, as recounted within the whole Bible. The reality of King's message is far simpler. The left hates God and everything that represents God. And America, from the time of the Mayflower, arrival at Plymouth Rock, has been all about the worship of God. Don't be bullied into thinking otherwise. And again, I would encourage you, look up David Barton. A lot of you in high school, junior high, and even younger now, have been poisoned as they have twisted through innuendo and respun our histories. The leftists always do it. That beautiful young Venezuelan woman who said, please, America, a young immigrant from Venezuela, please, America, wake up. They pulled the same strings, pushed the same buttons. So, Americans, it's past time to wake up. BLM and Sean King are not about lifting humanity out of racism. They aren't about lifting anything to a higher ideal. They're about destroying America's Bible-based Christian civilization by weaponizing racism. And they are serious. They must be resisted and stopped. The Battle Hymn of the Republic captures the sense of resolve needed in America today. America has founding principles derived from a just and loving God. Living up to them is the solution the societal ills, destroying those founding principles and mocking and destroying America's faith in a just and loving God will only lead to disaster. America's first Civil War racked up nearly unimaginable levels of death and destruction. America's second Civil War, which is now ongoing, doesn't have to be as bad or worse. But that will depend on enough Americans waking up and resisting now. Let's hope Sean King made that happen. I have to confess to you, I doubt it. But I'm bringing it out again. Let's at least here be awake and do our part in making sure that others are awake. This isn't political. This is a spiritual battle. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. I love this story. I shouldn't say story, this account. Forgive me. The God of this world has blinded their eyes so they cannot see the truth. Yeah, you, sure. Sure, I know. He has. But we have the wonderful truth of the gospel in our hearts and in our mouths, and God will lead us. How many of you in here are believing God for divine appointments? If you're not, let's do that right now. All over the room. Take the hand of the person next to you. Your spouse, somebody you brought. If you're sitting alone, I don't want to embarrass you, but find somebody. This is a sign of agreement. I want us right now in the name of Jesus. Because listen, you can waste your breath. Linda, don't argue with people. It's fruitless. You have to be led of the Spirit in these things, because this isn't the sharing of the gospel. I'm even this way when I'm sharing the gospel. If I'm on a bus somewhere and I know that I've got minutes and I'm prompted to speak the gospel to this person, I'm going to be bold and I'm going to do that. I've got nothing to lose. But if I'm in the same town, in the same place, in the same area, I'm going to take the time to gain their trust. Jesus did this. I'm going to take the time. I'm not going to slap them with the gospel. I'm going to take the time to develop a friendship, to develop some trust. We can be so rude in our Christian faith, and it's more about our boldness in overcoming our fear than it is about the poor person that we're talking to who needs the love of Jesus. And you just go barging in there. If you died today, would you to overcome your thing and just shoving your choke a mule-sized Bible down somebody's throat? That's religion. That's you overcoming your fear. That's not the love of God emanating out of you, emanating from you, coming out of you, flowing out of you towards somebody that the Holy Spirit is drawn to, that's hungry for truth. The way I feel about that is you just barge up to somebody. Now, there are those that are gifted and have a way of getting there quickly. We all have our giftings. But be sensitive. Be led of the Lord. Everybody's holding hands saying, come on, Pastor Lee. Sorry, I forgot. I'm preaching again. Well, join in a minute. It's like busting into somebody's house and digging through their underwear drawer. Those are intimate subjects. You got to talk to people, develop some trust. And then, as they begin, I don't know how many people I led to the Lord in that manner, and they still are serving Jesus today. They weren't saved in a church. I have several saved horseback. And they're serving God. They're men of God today. That personal thing. So we're joining hands. Here we go. We're going to pray. One more time. Sorry about that. Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, people, pray with me. I thank you. The Spirit of God lives in me. And your word says I have a supernatural anointing. So I ask you today for divine appointments. I don't want to argue. It's not my job to lawyerize. But it's my responsibility, born of love, to respond as that divine appointment arranged by you opens up and I can speak peace, truth, and love into somebody's life. So with me all over the room today, would you say with me, Jesus, I thank you that in your name you are arranging divine appointments for me to speak the love and truth of your word to others in the matters of today's challenges. I thank you that what I say comes across with strength, born of love, and that you arrange those conversations. I refuse to argue, to be in strife, to be in envy. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So thank you for divine appointments put there by you. For me, say it out loud, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do you believe that? I cannot believe it's 11:30 already. There's a beautiful story here of eyes being opened. I've tried to get here two, three weeks in a row? I'm going to stop right there, I think. 11:30, we've worshiped, we're full. What's that? 2 Kings, chapter 6. We'll pick up here next week. There's a beautiful story. I would love for you to go ahead of us and read it. 2 Kings, chapter 6 and 7. There are some things that, as I have looked at the scripture, that I think are very pertinent to our situation right now. And when you see the way that chapter 6 opens up, let me just throw a few teasers out there. We'll come back to this. You see a nation now being heavily influenced by a group of preachers. They called them prophets. There was a school of the prophets that was growing so much. And their influence on a nation, they went to build a place for them to meet. And in the process, a man with a borrowed axe drops it in the water, and it's lost. He comes to Elisha and says, "Elisha, there's great anxiety here. This is something that was the original alludes to something that he begged for. He really asked for. I need this. I want this. I need to use this. And now it's gone." And Elisha prophetically takes a stick. I guess I'm going to half preach it now, but we're going to get into it next week. I want to just invite you into the thing. We'll enjoy it. He takes a stick. Brother Daniel, Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff. We see over and over again this little insignificant, not much power there. He takes a stick and throws it in the water. And a metal axe floats. This is not a story, this is an account. I've seen stuff on the mission field, every bit that supernatural, don't ever doubt the word of God. Absolutely. Me, firsthand. An axe floats to the surface. And there's several things I want you to be thinking about as you read this. Number one, we see the rod of Aaron, the rod of Moses. I'm kind of giving away my message next week. We see the rod of Jesse, Jesus. Speaking of his lineage, the father of David. We see a stick. Humble, seemingly nothing, raised over the Red Sea. We see supernatural prophetic power on something that seems like nothing. A stick is removed, thrown into the water, and that which seems insignificant and powerless, I want you to think about it, is prophetically, I believe, it's a picture of our Jesus lowly. A man, Isaiah says, who had nothing in his physicality that was special at all. One you'd pass by and never notice. He was common. Philippians 2 says he laid aside his glory and humbled himself and became servant. A stick thrown in water, baptized in water with the power to redeem that which was lost. Oh, I got chills right now. Do you understand that's the kind of God we serve right now? And in the light of what's going on right now with our economy, don't you fear, because even that which was borrowed and lost, if you stay with the King who is meek and lowly, looks like nothing and nobody, there's power in that Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He didn't come as a mighty warrior with a shining sword to defeat physically. And I'm here to tell you today that it seems overwhelming when we stand like fools in this church and speak those things over our president and over our land. It seems like insignificant little words, a stick. I'm here to tell you it's not just any stick. And I love how the prophet says to the man who lost the axe, now you go in and get it. It's floating. It's what Sally and I have rehearsed many times. I preached this message years ago. The beauty of His mercy and His grace is that He provides us with response-ability. Never let responsibility in grace and faith be a burden to you ever again. It's your ability, because of the grace of God, to respond to His power and take advantage of the supernatural. But He's not going to do it all for you. We must stand, speak, reach, take, possess, and watch our God of salvation fight on our behalf. We shall overcome. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You got it, sister. I saw you. I was just trying to recover from my blast. I give you this. Go ahead.
The Lord, I wouldn't give this unless Lee said my name.
Shouldn't do that. That's Old Testament fleecing. Just obey God.
This morning in prayer, and it was a powerful time of prayer this morning, but...
you can tell.
Chad said something about Jesus on the cross and that stick, that those what seems insignificant. But I just was picturing the things that I've seen of pictures of Him on the cross. And all of a sudden, it was like this glow just began to just emit from Him. And I just kept my eyes closed, and it was a white light, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon explosive things were coming out of that light. And God began to just remind me, and it came out of my mouth, I think, this morning in prayer. Help me, Lord Jesus. Do you not know? Have you forgotten the power that is exuded from your mouth when you speak my name? Have you forgotten my light that exudes from you and touches those around you? Have you forgotten my touch is filled with the power of resurrection, of life? Have you forgotten I said these are matters of life and death?
Right.
It is darkness and light. I am the light. Do not assume. Have you neglected the power in my presence, in my name? Rise up like the axe from the water. Rise up in power and in might and see my glory come forth.
Amen. Awesome. So let's worship. Let's thank him. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Have we forgotten? A few of us might have, but we're reminded today. Thank you for being obedient, Sally. But no more fleece. Just do it. Thank you, Lord. How many glad for Jesus today? Your lights that shine in darkness. It's not by might nor by power, where we started once again, but by his Spirit. That insignificant little stick. Was a supernatural power of God. What a beautiful picture. The Lamb of God baptized, buried. We baptized, buried with him. Risen together with him. That which was lost, redeemed. And we'll talk more about that next week. Just get a hold of that. So his word in your mouth is not... I mean, the whole world is screaming. And your little voice... I think I'm going to go back. So you saw just a little bit of 2 Kings 6. I'm going to end then going back to 2 Corinthians and just read that out and we'll dismiss. Second Corinthians 4. Man, have you been blessed this morning? What an awesome. Middle of verse 2 where we left off, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul, when he's saying we, speaking of himself, we kind of get confused. He's speaking out of his gift, out of what the Lord was doing in him, and then how that affects us. Helps us to see that context. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sally spoke of light. Have you forgotten? I a number of years ago, did something very foolish as a pastor. Had a guy, big old Puerto Rican guy, rough as a cob, drunk out of his head, stopped by where our offices were. Our church was right on the precipice of a pretty rough area. Perfect spot. And one thing led to another. And I ended up giving in to help him get home. I need help getting home. Long story how this happened, but anyway, we wormed our way back through that neighborhood into an apartment, and he asked me, he says, "You seem like a nice guy. You've got some truth in you. Come inside." And the Holy Spirit prompted me. And I overrode it. You know, our compassion sometimes, we need to be Spirit-led. And I overrode it, and I stepped inside, and he closed the door behind me, and his whole demeanor changed. And I realized, I'm in trouble. I reached back, and he quickly grabbed a knife off of the, as a little apartment, grabbed a knife off of the, or went to reach for a knife, and I just backed off, and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when I'd pray in the Holy Ghost, he would get really still and back off. And then I would start talking to him. "Man, don't you know how much Jesus..." I remember what all I said. I just preached the gospel, the love of God. And then when I would start talking, as I would talk, I would see him get emboldened, and he'd start back towards that big old butcher knife on the counter. And finally I realized, okay, Lord, in my mind while I'm talking out loud, "I repent of my foolishness. You warned me. You told me not to do this, and I stepped in here. But I'm here to tell you, people, he doesn't just leave it all up to you. This is not our God. You got yourself in this. Now you get yourself out. If we will trust him, he will get us out of the messes of our own making if we'll trust him. Don't give up." And so here he is, and I'm in a jam. Because of how we entered the room and what he did, I unwittingly let myself get too far from that door. He had the cutoff. And finally, I realized that. And with that breath in my mouth and in my heart, while I'm praying in other tongues, one of the last times when he got really aggressive, I began to pray in other tongues and look at him with a boldness now renewed by the fact that I acknowledge this, and I also knew God was with me. And I watched that man as I began to pray with a renewed sense of boldness. Great big old guy. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Began to do this. I'm not being melodramatic. And I don't know what's going on. I just keep, now I'm even bolder, praying another tongue. Shola bakasi otoroboko. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for your sholambakasiyotorobokosia. That sound foolish to you? It is foolish. Paul said it's foolishness to men. But when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I watched this guy hit his knees, he started trembling around, and he got out a coin. I don't remember what the coin was. Seems to me like it was a nickel. But he's wide-eyed, and he says, "There's a light! There's a light all around you. There's a light. Hay una luz alrededor de ti. Hay una luz brillante alrededor de ti." And he's talking, it's Puerto Rican, and he takes the coin and he throws it. He goes, "Ay, mi Dios. Es verdad, es verdad." And he's telling me, "I saw the coin go through the light. I can't see anything. All I know is that he's on his knees. I got room to get to the door. I'm out of here." You know, we had the opportunity to minister to that guy months later. I learned several important lessons. You better listen. Brother Daniel, I love your precious heart. Thank you for blessing us last week. Being in the will of God is so vital. But if we will trust him, even when we fail, he always provides a way of escape. I watched as I prayed in the Holy Ghost. My disaster of my own making got turned around, and God, who is my defender, the light of God. Do you understand? That's not just a little story to embolden you in your personal. Do you understand when we come together like this, the impact in the spirit world? Jesus said two or three. We got a lot of good people in this room. Waking up, turning on, firing up, speaking the word. I'm very glad for Jesus today. The light of God. The anointing of God. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You ready for that? You ready for a chill bump before we go? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Are you here today? Say it with me. Greater is He. That's your Bible, by the way. I don't know how long it's been since you've been there, but that's Jesus talking about you. And there's more. Hallelujah. I guess that's a good place to stop. I was going to stop 20 minutes ago. But I just the Spirit of God's just so heavy in here. It's awesome. Let's stand to our feet and close as we worship. You came here today in need of prayer for anything. Chad, if you'd join me here on my right. John and Lana, if you'd join me on my left. Father, we thank you for your presence today, for speaking to our hearts, for encouraging us, but more than encouraging us, reminding us of the power that you've already delivered to make all the difference in this world. God, I thank you today that the spirit of fear is broken over this body. I thank you that the spirit of boldness rises strong. I thank you today that our heavenly language would flow. Come on, are you here today? Come on, hands up all over the room, would flow as never before. As we're traveling to and from, when we bump up against stuff in town that we don't understand, that we begin to worship and honor you, knowing I will call upon the Lord. Psalms 18, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Father God, we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. How many glad you came to church today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hope you got something you can live on, not just think about. And I trust in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful week. Remember tonight at 4:30 if you're interested in what we're doing there. And just take this worship with you as you go. Let this be your week in Jesus' name. Go ahead, let's worship. Shay Libby. Yes, sir. John, I miss you, man. Oh, my gosh. My boat's been in the garage for 6 weeks. That's sin.
I was talking with my brother the other day. And, you know, of course, I've told him about you, and you've read some of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he said to give you a word. You know, I told him we had some people that leave because of what you do. He said, don't worry. Don't let that be trouble. He said, those are church jobs. There is a harvest that's in your heart that you're going to see. Just stay encouraged.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome.
He's never met you, but he felt like that. He's a good tree to tell him.
Bless his heart. That's awesome. You tell him it bears witness, and thank you. Absolutely.
And maybe something you could share. I should have got up to break the congregation that God laid on my heart. We were talking about prayer this morning.
Break every chain.
God says,
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Is an army rising up.
Yeah.
every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain.
every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Thank you. As a small business owner, you're redefining business as usual.